liar, as it is written, that thou mightest be justified in thy sin, and mightest overcome when thou art judged. Believe me, every preacher is going to need justification in his stance. If he's taking a stance for the Lord, somebody, not just anybody, but the truth itself. As Jesus, our truth is a person. Jesus is going to have to justify your standing. We'll have to do it. And believe me, folk are judging you. They're judging every word that comes out of your mouth. And a preacher without confidence, this is sermon preparation. I don't want you to think I'm doing anything else but that. Yeah. Folk. A preacher that has no confidence is an ill-prepared preacher. Confidence comes not from who you are, but it comes from who called you. The very words that you speak come from God if you're doing your job well, if you're doing your job right. The words you speak come from God. And the one responsibility that the preacher has when he stands is to repeat what God has said. He is a herald of the king. King has given him a message and told him to go out to the street corner. The highways and the byways. Stand up before God's people and tell them the most important phrase in all the Bible: what thus saith the Lord. The truth. That's what we're talking about here. The truth. And the truth don't always sit with people well.
What?
The truth is not what they want to hear. Folk would rather hear a lie than to hear the truth. Because truth, let me say, truth is always critical. It's life and death. The truth always brings people to a point of crisis. You're going to have to make a decision about truth. And not on that, but it always brings us face to face with Jesus Christ. Whether he is smiling on you or whether he is frowning. The truth. And that's why it's important that we say what God has said. Jesus is not just Savior, but Jesus is the standard. Jesus himself is the very law of God. He is it. Now, so let me say something and get away from preaching a little bit and talking more in the talk and speaking. I'm not a speaker. I'm a preacher. but in speaking, the salesman, the politician, the inspirational speaker, the con artist, the pimp, the soothsayer. See, half the battle is won in the caricature of confidence. They can pour it on, man. They can pour it on. They can pour it on, and you, they'll make you think they are what they're not. Yeah, but folk will lie to a new world, Bill. Yes, they will. And convincingly lie to you. The prefabrication of confidence. A lie. A lie. And here's the good news for us preachers. We don't have to project him. We don't have to have props and we don't not even much personality. Because the truth will stand all on its own. Told you last week, the truth is what animates me. The truth is what, yeah, you get excited about the truth when you really know it. You really got it. You really got it. And old John Wesley said it this way. He said, "Oh, give me that book. Give me that book. It's enough. It's enough for me. Let me be a man of One book.
Yeah.
Let me be a man of one book. I'm not knocking the other books. If the other books talk about that book, that's okay. Amen. Amen. Let me be a man of one book. Here are the enemies. Here are the enemies of confident preaching today. Enemies in our pulpit today. I got three of them listed here. And subjective epistemology. Subjectivist epistemology that belittles propositional revelation. You know what subjective? I know that's a big word. Subjectivist epistemology. Listen, all that means is what I think. That's all it means. What I think rules the day. My conjectures and my ideas and so forth and so on. That's what I preach. Rather than the Bible. Rather than the Bible, I always tell this story. I know I told it before. There's a preacher, and I was sitting in his office and getting ready to preach, and this woman was going in and out and out, in and out. And I said, "Is that your wife?" And he said, "Oh no, Reverend, that's one of my women ministers." I said, "Oh, okay." And I put my head back down, continue to look at my Bible, and he said, "Rev, you got any women preachers?" And I looked up. I said, "Not now, not never." So he mumbled about the Bible. I never seen in the Bible where a woman can't preach. And I said, "I'm going to say this, and I'm not going to say anything else about that." I said, "We don't live by what the Bible does not say. We live by what it does say. Every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." And many, even some among us, took the stand when I was growing up. I was a little boy. Took the stand. Didn't no women ain't got no business in the pulpit.
You're right.
But their daughter started preaching. Their sister started preaching. And then they moved over to subjectivism. Subjective epistemology. Well, you know, you pull it out of your experience. Well, Reverend, who am I to say? You the preacher. The same word that you've been preaching.
Said Solomon.
And then here's a big one. Here's a big one. Linguistic theory.
Talk, Reverend, talk.
That cultivates an exegetical atmosphere of ambiguity. Satan has employed, and I'm not knocking the Greek and the Hebrew, Aramaic, and all of German, because we use it all. Amen. And Latin, I'm not knocking that. But Satan has used that to bring confusion into the church. To make us think, listen, your English translation is trustworthy. I don't care how much Greek and Hebrew you pull in, you're not going to come up with anything far from what you already got in your head. God has used men through the ages to do the work. You don't have to reinvent the wheel. You don't have the time. Your whole lifetime you can't lay out what's been done through all of church history on our behalf. You can trust it. And listen here, the main things are the plain things. And the plain things are the main things. We had all of it. And you know, listen here, the meaning of a word in the Hebrew or in the Greek does not convey the complete idea. The complete idea comes from the sentence and then from the passage. You got to have what does God mean by this? So we have what we need, and we need the whole Bible.
We need the whole Bible. And what they've done, they divided the Bible up into little pieces. Compartmentalized it. And now now they have us, you can't preach from the whole of Scripture. You gotta just stay right here in this fact. They miss what the preaching that. Let me say this. I had a preacher that come up and he say, "Reverend, you know, you have to look at the Greek and you have to look at the Hebrew." I don't mind doing that. I do it on occasion when it's necessary.
Yeah.
You have to do this. And I asked him, I said, "Is that the way Jesus preached?"
Yeah.
All right.
Is that the way the apostle preached? Show me one sermon in the Bible that they preach like that. See, you going to have to, listen up. You're going to have to know God for yourself. I love school. I love sitting up there listening to the professor. I love what I get. But listen here. You better know who you are. It'll mess you up.
I'll come love.
Yeah.